أشهد أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Almighty God Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to Almighty God Allah, and may the prayer and the peace be upon His noble prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who was born in Arabia over 1400 years ago, and upon his family and companions altogether. Ameen. Welcome to another session of The Safe Zone. My name is Saifuddin Hassan, your host, and I greet you with the greeting of peace, the greeting of all the prophets of God, of Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, just to name a few of them. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. The purpose of our show is to present the noble teachings of Islam as they were revealed in the Quran, the final revelation from God, and by the example of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who was born in Arabia over 1400 years ago. Despite the fact that over one-fifth of the world's population is Muslim, Islam is often distorted, misunderstood, and misrepresented in contemporary society. We pray that this show will shed some light on Islam and dispel any commonly held misconceptions that have ignited hatred, bigotry, and prejudice. We pray that people of all faiths and ideologies will join us in making this a world of toleration, understanding, and peace. Islam, what is Islam? Islam is an Arabic word which is derived from the Arabic roots of Silm and Salam. These terms mean submission, obedience, and peace. As a way of life, Islam calls for complete submission to the will of Almighty God Allah in order to obtain peace. A Muslim is one who freely and willingly accepts the supreme power of Almighty God Allah and strives to organize his life or her life in accordance with the guidance and the teachings of Almighty God Allah. Mohammedanism is a misnomer to Islam and offends the very spirit of Islam, for Muslims do not worship the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was not the founder of Islam. Islam is not a new message, a new revelation, a new religion, but is the same message and guidance that Almighty God Allah revealed from time to time to all prophets and messengers. Allah has said for us to say in the Quran, to say we believe in Allah, God, and that was revealed to us, and that was revealed to Abraham, Ismail, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes, and that which was given to Moses and Jesus and to all the prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between one and another of them, and we bow our wills to Almighty God Allah in Islam. The messages that were revealed to former prophets were either lost or changed. The message that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is only Islam in its comprehensive, complete, and final form. You may hear me use the word God and Allah interchangeably on our show, but I just wanted to clarify that as Muslims, we believe in the same creator, the same God as everyone else, that God, however, in Islam is one, he is unique, and there is none comparable unto him. He compares himself in the Quran to no one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulid wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad, to say, he is Allah the One, Allah the Eternal, the Absolute. He begets not, nor was he begotten, and there is none comparable unto him. So, laysa kamithlihi shay, there is none comparable unto Almighty God Allah, the creator and the sustainer of everyone and everything on this earth, including Jesus, peace and blessings of God be upon him. But the word Allah, if you're Muslim, Christian, or Jewish, and you speak Arabic, you say Allah. You don't say God, you don't say Dios, you don't say Dio. You say Allah, which is the Arabic word for God. So most people have this misconception thinking that Allah, saying Allah is the sun god or Allah is a different god. But every Christian, every Jewish person, if they speak Arabic, they use Allah. As a matter of fact, in the Aramaic language, and if people want to go look it up, the Aramaic word for God, it is expressed in the 1980 edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica. And every Christian, if you go to the Middle East and you ask them what is the Aramaic word for God, they'll say Allah. This is the Aramaic word for God. The Hebrew name for God is Eloi, which sounds similar to Allah, which are two Semitic languages. So today, God willing, the last time we talked a little bit about drugs and alcohol, so we're going to kind of change it up today a little bit. And because the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is such a controversial figure in the world today, and people are saying all types of negative things about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, we want to clarify and to introduce people to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that we know, and not the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that these Islamophobes and everybody who is out there on YouTube and all these different people that are saying all these negative things about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, and about Islam. And we're going to finalize, and we'll probably continue next week. We're going to talk about, is the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, mentioned in former scriptures? And hopefully we'll get to that briefly today, and then maybe, God willing, next time we'll get into it a lot extensively, because it's a lot to it. So who is the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him? First of all, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, was born in Mecca, which is called a modern-day Saudi Arabia, in the year 570 A.D., so about 570 years after Jesus, peace and blessing be upon him. And one of the things that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, said, that there was no prophet between him and Jesus. So no prophet came after Jesus, peace and blessing be upon him, except the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And anyone that wants to look at history and all the things that are happening today, and there's no other book, there's no other revelation, there's nothing that came after Jesus except the Quran. Even the people who use religion today, and they say they're a prophet, they say they're a messenger, they say this, they say that. We've had thousands of them here in the United States. None of them use any of their own books. They all use the Quran, or they all use the Bible as their source of reference, because this is something that was revealed by God, and it's something that is almost impossible for human beings to, you know, to come up with. So they all use the same books, the Quran, the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament, to bring about their message. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, was born in one of the tribes of Quraysh. His mother passed away at an early age. His father passed away before he was born, and he was taken into the care of his uncle Abu Talib, who was the brother of his father Abdullah, and he took care of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, for the age, you know, his young age, until he reached the age of puberty and was able to be on his own to some degree. So one of the things about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, even before he received the revelation, he was known as Al-Amin. He was known as the trustworthy. And there's a story that we know of in the years before the Prophet Muhammad received revelation from God, is that the people called him, as I said, the trustworthy, the Al-Amin. They called him As-Sadiq, the truthful. So these were the names that were given to him even before Islam. So everybody trusted him. Everybody gave, like, for instance, even after he received revelation, that, you know, they had all of their most prized possessions, you know, in his care. This is what the people of Arabia did, because they felt he was the most honest of the people. They just didn't like his message, even though he came, you know, with the message of God, the one God. They just couldn't accept it, but they still left all of their prized possessions in his possession. So he was known as Al-Amin, the trustworthy. And there's a beautiful story before he received revelation from God, and that the people were arguing. And the black stone is a very, you know, sacred stone that we believe came from the heavens. It's placed in the Kaaba, the first house of worship, which was built by Adam, and then rebuilt by Abraham and his son Ismail. Peace and blessing be upon all of them. And the black stone was about to be placed back in its place around the Kaaba. And so the tribes of Arabia started to argue as to who was going to place the black stone back in its place. And they had so many tribal differences that things like this would cause feuds and fights and, you know, war. So they said, okay, we're going to ask the first person who walks into the Kaaba, we're going to ask him to mediate this situation. And so the Prophet Muhammad, before he received revelation, walked into the Kaaba and he said, oh, it's Al-Amin. He will be able to settle this dispute between us. So the Prophet Muhammad came up with a plan that all of the tribes would grab hold of a sheet and he would place the black stone in its place. And all of them agreed, and it kept them from going to war and so forth and so on. So this is just something about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. But at the age of 40, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, received his first revelation from the angel Gabriel, the angel Jibril, may peace and blessing be upon him. And the first revelation that he received, which was the revelation of the Quran, was called Iqra. And it starts with Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. And it just says, read in the name of your Lord who created man from a drop of blood, a congealed blood. You know, so these were the first revelations. And the Prophet Muhammad said to Jibril, but I cannot read, because the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, could not read or write. And even in the Bible, the book of Isaiah, it talks about this person who will come who will be illiterate, the illiterate one, the one who could not read nor write. So, and if you look in the book of Isaiah, which we'll be talking about a little bit about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, it talks about this person who will be illiterate and all the different things that would happen. And all of these things happened in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad, which were in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah. And we'll talk about some of the other revelations as well. So, you know, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, did not believe, as we said, in the idols and all of the things that were being worshipped in the time of, you know, his life. So he would go and meditate in the cave of Hira, and he would contemplate all the things, the injustices in society. The rich would devour the poor. You know, they had these terrible abuses of women. So the Prophet Muhammad would leave the people and he would go meditate. And then, as we said, Jibril, the angel Jibril, came to him and revealed the first revelations of Islam. So after this, the Prophet Muhammad, he went to his wife, Khadija, and she accepted Islam. His best friend, Abu Bakr, accepted Islam. And she talked to her cousin, Waraka, who was of the Christian faith. And he declared that if your message comes, you know, in the time of my life, I will accept you. And unfortunately, Waraka, who was a Christian who knew the scriptures, you know, he, you know, died before the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, received the revelation, further revelation from Jibril. But once the Prophet Muhammad started to receive these revelations, of course, the people were very upset, you know, because they were worshiping one God. I mean, many gods. And the Prophet Muhammad came with the worship of one God. And these people, not only were their gods their worship, but these idols were their revenue. That there was a time where the people would have this great festival and they would bring all their gods to the Kaaba and they would make money. It was like a Eid. It was like a, you know, like a Christmas for them, like a festival, like, you know, where everybody exchanged gifts and people bought, you know, their goods to the Kaaba to sell. So they were making money. People from all over Arabia would come at this time. And this is how the Quraysh, the people of his tribe, made their money at that time, the people of Mecca. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was disturbing not only their worship, but their money. So that's like two things that you don't mess with human beings, their worship and their money, you know. So they started to persecute the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. But even there's another beautiful story that the Prophet Muhammad took all of the leaders and he took them up to a mountain. And he said, if I were to tell you there was an army coming from over top of that other side of that mountain, would you believe me? They said, of course. They said, you are El Amin. You are the truthful. You are the trustworthy. He said, if there was an army and you told us that, we would believe it. He said, then say, La ilaha illallah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. They said, oh, no, we can't say that. You know, we can't go with that. We believe you in other things, but we can't believe you in this act of worship. So this is how they were, you know, to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. But then the people started following him and accepting him. One of the first things that he said, stop the killing of newborn girls. This was one of the things that the Arabs did at that time. They were such, as they called, jahiliyyah, jahil people. You know, we call these times before Islam the times of jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance. And they were so ignorant that they would bury their daughters alive. And they were so steeped in ignorance that one of the disciples or companions of the Prophet Muhammad, who became the second Khalifa, Umar, he relates a beautiful story that the people saw him one day when, after the Prophet Muhammad died, he said, oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, oh, you know, leader of the faithful, you know, we see you one minute, you are crying, then we see the next minute, you are laughing. And he said, I thought about my daughter, and I took her to bury her alive. And when I was burying her, you know, she was brushing the dust, the sand from my beard. And I felt the grip of life just, you know, go away from her hand. And because of this, me burying my daughter alive, I cried. And then he said, I had a god made of dates. You know, they would make their gods out of dates, you know. And he said, and I got hungry and I ate it. And he said, and because of this, I laughed. So this is how steeped in ignorance they were, you know, in these times that, you know, in the times of, you know, what we call jahiliyyah, the times of ignorance before the revelation of Islam, that this is the type of things they did. Worship idols, made idols out of dates. When they got hungry, they ate it, buried their daughters alive. So after, you know, several years of persecution and, you know, different things that happened to the Prophet Muhammad, many of his followers had to flee to Abyssinia, which is in East Africa. This is actually present-day Ethiopia, and the Muslims had to flee there. The Prophet Muhammad ordered them to go. You know, some small group of them went to Abyssinia, where the Prophet Muhammad and his stronger companions stayed in Mecca to deal with all the persecution and so forth. So, you know, this is what happened. You know, this is just some of the brief history of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Eventually, he overtook Mecca after 23 years of the revelation, from the first time that he received the revelation to the end, which was 23 years. He finally took back Mecca in a bloodless coup. You know, he didn't take any revenge on the people who had killed his companions, who had beat him, who had humiliated him, who had did all of these things to him. He told everyone, you are free. You know, this day, including Abu Sufyan, you know, even Ikramah, who was the one of the biggest killers and massacres of the Muslims at that time. His wife even came to the Prophet Muhammad and said, please give him, you know, amnesty, you know, forgive him for what he did. You know, and I think about this. There was a woman, you know, who pleaded for a husband who was captured, so-called, by these ISIS guys. And she said, I heard your Prophet Muhammad gave amnesty to people, that he was forgiving to people. And these guys still, you know, calling themselves Muslims, killed her son. You know, so this is the type of things that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, didn't do in his time, which people say, oh, these are Muslims, this is what they do. This is completely false. But I just want to read something this is one of the most astounding, you know, kind of capturing of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And it was written by a Muslim I think his name is Pasha from Pakistan. And then we're going to quickly read some of this, and then we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the Prophet Muhammad a little bit more and him being mentioned in the Bible. But this is called You Must Know This Man Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And it says, you may be an atheist or an agnostic, or you may belong to any one of the religious denominations that exist in the world today. You may be a communist or believer in democracy and freedom. No matter who you are, and no matter what your religion and political beliefs, personal and social habits happen to be, you must still know this man. He was by far the most remarkable man that ever set foot on this earth. He preached a religion, founded a state, built a nation, laid down a moral code, initiated numberless social and political reforms, established a dynamic and powerful society to practice and represent his teachings, and completely revolutionized the worlds of human thought and action for all times to come. His name was Muhammad, peace and blessings of Almighty God, Allah be upon him, and he accomplished all these wonders in the unbelievably short span of 23 years. Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was born in Arabia on the 20th of August in the year 570 of the Christian era, and when he died after 63 years, the whole of the Arabian Peninsula had changed from paganism and idol worship to the worship of one God, from tribal quarrels and wars to national solidarity and cohesion, from drunkenness and debauchery to sobriety and piety, from lawlessness and anarchy to discipled living, disciplined living, from utter moral bankruptcy to the highest standards of moral excellence. Human history has never known such a complete transformation of a people or place before or since. The Encyclopedia Britannica calls him the most successful of all religious personalities of the world. Bernard Shaw said about him that if Muhammad were alive, today, he would succeed in solving almost all the problems which threaten to destroy human civilization in our time.
Thomas Carlyle was simply amazed as to how one man single-handedly could weld warring tribes and wandering Bedouins into a most powerful and civilized nation in less than two decades. Napoleon and Gandhi never tired of dreaming of a society along the lines established by this man in Arabia 14 centuries ago. Indeed, no other human being ever accomplished so much in such diverse fields of human thought and behavior in so limited a time and space as did Muhammad, peace and blessings of Almighty God, Allah be upon him. He was a religious leader, a social reformer, a moral guide, a political thinker, a military genius, an administrator of the faithful, a faithful friend, a wonderful companion, a devoted husband, a loving father, all in one. No other man in history ever excelled or equaled him in any of these difficult departments of life. The world has had its share of great personalities, but these were one-sided figures who distinguished themselves in but one or two fields, such as religious thought or military leadership. None of the other great leaders of the world ever combined in himself so many different qualities to such an amazing level of perfection as did Muhammad, peace and blessings be of God be upon him. The lives and teachings of other great personalities of the world are shrouded in the mist of time. There is so much speculation about the time and place of their birth, the mode and style of their life, the nature and detail of their teachings, and the degree and measure of their success or failure that it is impossible for humans today to reconstruct accurately and precisely the lives and teaching of those men. Not so with this man Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. Not only was he born in the fullest blaze of recorded history, but every detail of his private and public life, of his actions and utterances, have been accurately documented and faithfully preserved to this day. The authenticity of the information so preserved is vouched for not only to be by the faithful followers, but also by unbiased critics and open-minded scholars. So this is just some of what we wanted to talk about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And just to finalize before we go to our break, that Michael Hart labeled him. He did the 100 most influential people in history. And people were surprised. He said, you may be surprised by the number one person that I listed, you know, in my 100 most influential people of the world. He said, number one was Muhammad. And he said, why was Muhammad the most influential that he thought? He said, because he was the only one that was able to combine all facets of life, you know, the political, the religious, the social, all of these things into one at one time. Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, great man. We believe in Jesus. We revere Jesus and his mother. One of the greatest prophets. He is Umm al-Azm, you know, in Islam. He is one of the greatest of the prophets, including Moses, including Abraham, including Noah. They are the greatest of the prophets, peace be upon all of them. But only Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was able to successfully do everything all at one time. Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, wasn't a husband. He wasn't, you know, a leader. His people rejected him. All the great things that he did, raising the dead, curing the blind, healing the leper, these were just basic facets. He was able to do all of these things, but he wasn't able to combine all of them into one, as did the Prophet Muhammad. And this was the plan of God. And that's to take nothing away from Jesus or Moses or Abraham. All of these men were great. As Allah says, make no distinction between one and another of them. And we bow our wills to God in Islam. So we're going to take a quick break for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to come right back with the Safe Zone. Peace. Salam.
Happy Thanksgiving, America. I'm Donna, and I'm here with my friends to tell you the real history behind this holiday. Growing up, I knew that what they told you in school about Thanksgiving wasn't true. That's not the true story. The true story behind Thanksgiving was, after every killing of a whole village, these European settlers celebrated it, and they called it Thanksgiving. But it wasn't until Abraham Lincoln became president that it became an official holiday.
He ordered 38 Dakota men to be hung for war crimes after the sacred holiday, Christmas. We take this time to remember our elders who lost their lives due to what really happened. Usually my mom makes a Native American dish for us and we pray.
Growing up, I would be kind of annoyed that they didn't know what actually happened on Thanksgiving and that they're actually celebrating the deaths of many people and many tribes that were lost.
whether it's to give thanks or to be with your family. You should learn how the holiday was established in the first place.
I'm thankful for being born indigenous to this continent.
I'm thankful that I still have my culture.
I'm thankful that my elders kept our culture alive all these years.
I'm thankful to be indigenous, resilient, and alive.
I'm thankful for us all to be able to stand together, stand strong, and stand as one.
Happy Thanksgiving, America.
Once again, welcome back to the Safe Zone. I just wanted to give a shout out to our Native American brothers and sisters, unfortunately, who were the victims of a genocide in our society. I wanted to play that last week, 2 weeks ago, before Thanksgiving, but then again, I didn't want to spoil anyone's Thanksgiving. But this is the reality that we've lived in, unfortunately. The true history of what happened to Native Americans in this country, you know, is pretty much, hidden. Most of our Native American brothers and sisters live on reservations. They were systematically annihilated. You know, some say up to 96 million people slaughtered, you know, in our country. And unfortunately, our country was built on the slaughter of the Native Americans and the enslavement of African Americans. So, you know, it's very difficult. I know we don't like to think about these things, but this is the reality. And we can't forget, you know, what happened to these people in our past, so that, God willing, we can have a better future. And that once we recognize these things, I think that we can sort of close the door on those chapters, God willing. Getting back to our topic of discussion, we want to talk a little bit about the Prophet Muhammad, what non-Muslims have said about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And we already talked about Michael Hart, who wrote the 100 Most Influential Persons in History. If anyone wants to get that book, you know, it's still out there. You can go on Amazon. Michael Hart, once again, the 100 ranking of the most influential persons in history. And he's Christian. He ranked Muhammad first. He ranked Jesus fifth. You know, peace and blessings be upon him. And I'll just read what he said so that it won't be any ambiguity about what I said. He said, "My choice of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, to lead the list of the world's most influential persons may surprise some readers and may be questioned by others. But he was the only man in history who was supremely successful on both the secular and the religious level. It is probable that the relative influence of Islam has been larger than the combined influence of Jesus, peace be upon him, and St. Paul on Christianity. It is this unparalleled combination of the secular and religious influence which I feel entitles Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, to be considered to be the most influential single figure in the history of human beings." This is Michael Hart. Thomas Carlyle, he said, "How can one man single-handedly could weld warring tribes and wandering Bedouins into a most powerful and uncivilized nation in less than two decades?" Sir Bernard Shaw said, "If any religion had the chance of ruling over England, nay, Europe within the next 100 years, it would be Islam." And this is already happening in Europe now. That's why they're going crazy. Islam is growing so fast, you know, in Europe, because of conversions, because of, unfortunately, the birth rate. And we spoke about this before. In Europe now, they're only having 1.3 average of children, up to 1.5. And you need 2.5 children to sustain a civilization. So everybody, you know, if you're only having 1.5 children, you're having less than the previous generation. You know, which is a man and a woman getting married. But now nobody's getting married in Europe. You know, and we're having the same phenomenon here in the United States where people aren't getting married. You know, even though we're still having children, you know, for the most part, you know, we're not sustaining that either. We're just right there at like 2.0, you know, children per family, you know. So it's starting to happen to the United States as well, where, you know, sooner or later, as we know, Latinos are going to be the majority in America. You know, it's going to be the same phenomenon happening here as well. So Sir Bernard Shaw said, "I've always held the religion of Muhammad, peace be upon him, in high estimation because it is a wonderful vitality. It is the only religion which appears to me to possess that assimilation capacity to the changing phase of existence, which can make itself appeal in every age. I have studied him, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the wonderful man, in my opinion, far from being an antichrist,
He must be called the savior of humanity. I believe that if a man like him were to assume the dictatorship of the modern world, he would succeed in solving its problems in a way that will bring it to much needed peace and happiness. I have prophesied about the faith in Muhammad that it would be acceptable to the Europe of tomorrow and is beginning to be accepted to the Europe of today. And Sir Bernard Shaw said, he was by far the most remarkable man that ever set foot on this earth. He preached a religion, founded a state, built a nation, laid down a moral code, initiated numerous social and political reforms, established a powerful and dynamic society to practice and represent his teachings, and completely revolutionized the worlds of human thought and behavior for all times to come. And I just wanted to mention these things, you know, about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, by non-Muslims who are saying this, because these people have studied his life. We're not talking about people who just read one verse from the Quran or read one hadith or saying of the Prophet Muhammad or one of his actions, and they suddenly, oh, they know about the Prophet Muhammad. They know about Islam. And this is what we're having today. People who don't even have any scholarship, don't even have any university, you know, or anything, you know, to back up all these things that they're saying. They're just going off the cuff, you know. They're just reading a couple verses, doing this, doing that. People have studied Islam, Muslim and non-Muslim, for 20, 30 years. And these are the conclusions that they come up with. And then somebody reads a verse from the Quran, you know, one day, and all of a sudden he's an expert. You go to Fox News and he's an expert on Islam because he read a few passages from the Quran or from, you know, the sayings and actions of the Prophet Muhammad. So this is how ridiculous, you know, these people are. And I pray that people out there, when you're continually hearing all this bias and you know, against Islam, just, you know, we have a masjid, 624 George Street. We have masajid or mosque all over the, you know, state of Connecticut. Go to your local mosque. Talk to the Muslims there. Talk to the people who practice this religion, you know. And anyone out there who's willing, they want to come together. They want to talk about it. They want to debate. They want to have a talk. You know, we're more than willing. We just don't want to be on the show here, the New Haven Independent, just talking to ourselves. If anyone, you know, you can contact the masjid, you can contact me, you know, we're at 624 George Street. My name is Saifuddin Hassan. You know, we have many people that can sit down and chat with you, talk to you about Islam, debate about this and debate about that. And then we can come to our own conclusions, you know, but please just don't, you know, listen to these Islamophobes who are being paid, many of them. Many of these people are being paid today. They have Fear Incorporated did a whole study. You know, I mean, it's like a 200-page study of who is promoting this, that these people have collected almost probably now $100 million, the Pamela Gellers, the Robert Spencers, the Steve Emersons, the Daniel Pipes, you know, the Bridget, I forget this woman's name. You know, they're all being paid. You know, this is their salary. This is their job that they go around to try to distort Islam. You know, even Senator Chris Murphy, he said, I was so hurt. I was so shocked. We met with him, you know, after all of these, you know, Trump's travel ban, which is, you know, about to be reiterated again, you know, in the, I guess it's already passed. And he said he was shocked to find out that people were actually deliberately being paid to distort Islam. You know, so this is what's going on. And people aren't even aware of this. But, you know, they have the mechanisms. They have the propaganda. They have the, you know, the platform. And this is what we have. We have, thank God, the New Haven Independent. We have, you know, other means and small ways to get our message out to the community. So I think we have a few minutes left. We have, 5 minutes left? So we're going to conclude today. We're going to give a little intro to what we wanted to talk about next time. And that is the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, mentioned in the Bible. And I often hear, you know, our Christian brethren, you know, we'll ask them the question, is Muhammad mentioned in the Bible? And they'll say, no. I said, but, you know, you have Russia. You say it, you know, talks about Russia. It talks about, you know, the Armageddon. It talks about all of these different things. Why does it not talk about a man who, you know, everywhere you look in the Holy Land, everywhere you look when where all the prophets came, where Jesus preached, where Moses preached, where Abraham preached in Egypt and Palestine and in Jordan and all of these places where all the main prophets came, that all of these places are Muslim now, you know, all of these places. So whether negative or positive, why, you know, does it say nothing about the Prophet Muhammad? But we believe as Muslims that the Bible has so many passages. It may not name the Prophet Muhammad all of these times by name, even though when you go to the Hebrew, which we'll try to demonstrate next time, God willing, that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is mentioned in the Hebrew version of the Bible by name. So we're going to talk about this, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions a verse in the Quran when he talks about Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him. He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ قال عيسى بن مريم يا بني إسرائيل إني رسول الله إليكم مصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة ومبشرا برسول يأتي من بعد اسمه أحمد فلما جاءهم بالبينات قالوا هذا سحر مبين. He said that when Jesus, the son of Mary, remember, anytime you see Jesus' name in the Quran, it says Jesus ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary, that Jesus was the son of Mary, you know, very simple, you know. So it says that Jesus, the son of Mary, he said, O children of Israel, I am the messenger of God sent to you, confirming the law which came to you and giving you glad tidings of one who will come after you, whose name will be Ahmed. But when he came to them, they with clear signs, they said, this is nothing but sorcery. So Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, told of a person who will come after him, whose name will be Ahmed. And Jesus also said in the Bible, he said, I say many things unto you. Howbeit, you are not ready for them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, one says the Spirit of truth, one says the Comforter. When the Spirit of truth comes, when the Comforter comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me. He will do all of these things. There has been no one that has come after Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, who has glorified Jesus, who has cleared up his mother's name. No religion, no other human being who has come except the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who has come to clear up the name of Jesus and his mother, to label him as a true prophet of God, who cured the leper, healed the blind, raised the dead, you know, who will return at the end of time, you know, bi-ithnillah, by the leave of God. So this is the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And we're going to go through all of the different things about the Prophet Muhammad, how in Deuteronomy 18:18 it says a prophet like unto Moses from amongst the brethren of the Israelites. The brethren of the Israelites were who? The Ishmaelites, the people from Ismail. You know, Prophet Muhammad is a direct descendant of Ismail. It talks about Khidr. It talks about Paran. Who was Khidr? The Bible clearly talks about it. He talks about Khidr. You know, Khidr was the second son of Ismail. It talks about Paran. Paran is the old name for Mecca. You know, so people don't even know these things because why? They don't study their books. You can go to all of the sources, non-Muslim sources, and they'll tell you Paran was the old name for Mecca. Khidr was the second son of Ismail. You know, the book of Isaiah, which we mentioned, that there would be a prophet who would come with 10,000 saints. He would enter back into the city. This is exactly how many, you know, people came back into Mecca. Exactly. You know, it talks about, you know, the illiterate one in the book of Isaiah. We already talked about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings, being the one who couldn't read nor write all the way up to the time of his death. It said that one would come upon a donkey and one would come upon a camel, you know. And the people came to Jesus and they said, are you Elias? He said, no. He said, are you the Christ? And he said, are you that prophet? So the Jews were waiting for a prophet to come. They even migrated to Medina, the place in Mecca. They migrated there. And when Abdullah bin Salam, who was the chief, one of the chief rabbis in Medina, when he heard the Prophet Muhammad was coming, he screamed. And his wife said, my God, you would think that Moses was coming. And he said, he is like Moses. He is the same as Moses. He is the brother of Moses, you know, because they had all migrated there because of them knowing there was a prophet coming. And they used to tell the Arabs and they said, we accepted Islam because of what the Jews told us. So we'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to The Safe Zone. My name is Saifuddin Hassan, and hopefully we will finish our topic up next week. Once again, I send you off with a salutation of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
South Africa. Our world knows too much pain, too much hatred, and too much suffering. And our condition will never change until we change what's within ourselves. So let's spark that change. First, we need the love. Uthando, uthando, masibe nothando. What we need is love. Uthando, uthando, hey, 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 hey.
we sent across the sea of life. So much pain, warring divides. It's a shame we don't see how it can be. Oh, we need to smile at each other, reach for your brother, help